brief tonight. And so, which I was a little shocked. Last Sunday night, I spoke and we were done at like 10 till. Am I correct on that? I think you were wrapped up the song at like 7 till. Nobody even said anything about, when I go long, I hear all kinds of stuff. When I go short, not a single word. I appreciate that. So, but I do plan intentionally to be shorter tonight because, again, I want to allow any parents here to go down, and I want to go down, and our staff as well. So what I want to do is we've been in Psalm 119. So turn there if you would. And we've been looking at different of the stanzas. You remember that there are 22 different stanzas, 8-verse stanzas, that coincides with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet for each of those. And we looked the first time at the first stanza in verses 1 through 8, really at the priority of the word, and recognizing the emphasis of that as the psalm begins, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimony. There's this blessing and the priority for it. And then we jumped ahead to verses 89 to 96 last time. And really the preservation of the word, that forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. That there is a confidence that we have in the word of God. And then tonight I want to jump the very next stanza, verses 97 to 104, and look at the pursuit or the priority of the word that is there in this stanza. And I just want to read the first verse. We're going to spend most of our time just digging out of this verse. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You'll see the letter that accompanies that, or that is this stanza, is mem. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And so this pursuit of the word is rooted in a love for it. Just last week, I was in a discipleship session I was doing with a young man, and then also with my family and our family devotions. One of the things that we were discussing was just the word of God. For this young man, he's just a brand new believer. We're going to be looking to baptize him soon here. And we're talking about the word of God. And I said, really, I want to look at really three questions that I think are important for us to kind of lay down as you're going to continue to grow. We want to help you grow in the Lord. And one is, why is the word of God important? You know, we talk about the importance of the word of God to help you grow thereby, but why is that important? And then we wanted to answer the question, well, how did we get the word? Why do we have a confidence that this is truly the word of God? And we looked at inspiration and how God delivered his word to us and breathed it out through holy men of God. And then we wanted to ask the question, well, how then should I engage in it? How should that impact me? What should that look like in my interaction with this word? And so we looked at a variety of scriptures together, and we did the same thing with my family and our family devotions, and I wanted to hear from them, why is the word of God important? And we looked at passages like Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate therein day and night. And then it talks about he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And it talks about this blessing and fruitfulness that comes out of this person who loves the Lord or loves his word and loves the Lord and meditates in it. We looked at other passages that looked at the same emphasis and wanted to look at then how do we engage with it. And so I kind of see that in that same vein here. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. I read several years ago an account about a man named William McPherson, and William McPherson was a supervisor at a stone quarry, and there was an explosion, there was an accident in this stone quarry that caused him to actually lose his eyesight in both of his eyes, and he lost his hands, and this was prior to the technology today where you can listen to the word of God on your smart device, whatever. This was prior to that. And he was concerned how he would still be able to engage in the word of God. And he taught himself, because he had such a love for it, he taught himself to read Braille with his tongue. And by the time I had read this account, he had read through the entirety of the scriptures several times with his tongue. And I thought, now that is a love for the Word of God. Even though his eyesight was gone, even though his hands were gone, he could have made excuses. I just can't do it now. This is not possible. He said, no, I love the Word, and I want that to impact my life. I want to know God through it, because there's really the key. I love the Word of God because I love the God of the Word. And he's chosen to reveal himself to that. And so that's a repeated theme. In this Psalm 119, which is all about the Word of God, repeatedly it talks about a love for it. We see that in verse 14, 47, 48, 70, 77, 92, 97, 103, 113, 127, 131, 140, 143, 159, 163, 167, and 174. All of those verses just in this psalm are talking about a love for the Word of God. And so, the point here is the Word of God was clearly needs to be our delight and our love. Puritan Philip Henry stated, all grace grows as love for the Word of God grows. And so just really quickly, I just want to kind of lay out just some thoughts to kind of get you thinking about this text. And I'm going to leave it for you to kind of maybe dig it out. I'm going to give you the skeletal structure of how I kind of see this laying out. And I'll let you kind of put more meat on the bones in your own study of the Word of God so we can be kind of brief for tonight. The first thing I want us to notice is really the passion for the Word. We see that in verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. We might even think about how the psalmist in Psalm 19 says it this way after he describes the Word of God. And he says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I've talked through Psalm 19 and preached through Psalm 19 sometimes at different camps with teenagers. And one of the things I've asked them is, if I were to tell you that I have hidden the keys on this camp for a new, brand new Lamborghini, and whoever finds the keys can have them, can have the car. I said, what kind of pursuit would you have of it? And they got the point very clearly that they would probably not even stay and listen to the rest of my talking. They would go be looking for the keys because they want that Lamborghini. That's the idea of a desire. More to be desired, though, the psalmist says, than gold, yea, than much fine gold is the Word of God. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. And there's the kind of desire that needs to be developed there. And the psalmist says, oh, how I love your law. And we sense that intense passion. And it connects with even the command of Deuteronomy 6, which was the Shema, that they would quote on a daily basis, twice a day, and to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the point is this, and Moses actually adds right behind that in Deuteronomy 6, these words I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. The point is this, love for God is evidenced by love for his word. We've seen that even in our study in 1 John, when one of the natural responses of a believer is to love God, and a natural response of a believer is going to be, as even Peter talks about, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. We breed dogs and have puppies. One of the things that always astounded me, you don't have to teach the puppy to want to go nurse. That puppy's brand new born, and it will come out, and the mother's just cleaned it off, and the mother lays back and is preparing to deliver the next one, and that puppy comes right over, finds its mother, and begins to nurse. They just naturally desire the milk. And that's what's natural of a believer. There's going to be, why? Because we love the God who wrote this. There's a desire to, man, how can I know him more? I now understand he saved me from my sins. I understand he has a purpose and plan for my life. How can I know him more? And so there's a desire to kind of dig out that treasure in it. So how ought to we do that? Well, let me just a couple just quick thoughts on that. One is obviously this is for a child of God. So be a child of God. There's going to be a naturalness of a hunger for that. The second would be to discipline yourself to read it. Disciplines lead to enjoyed practices. Let me say that again. Disciplines lead to enjoyed practices. As we discipline ourselves for it and get involved in that and engage with that on a regular basis of a discipline, we begin to love that practice. And as we discipline ourselves to get in the Word of God, set a time for that, it will grow in a joy and love for it. I think thirdly, there's a need to obviously to obey it. That's clearly given to us again in 1 John throughout Jesus' own commands. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. You may obey in it. James tells us to not only be hearers of the word, but to be doers of it. The obedience to it. And I think then personalize it. What is he saying? What is this saying to me? How does God relate to me as I understand his word here? This is not just about information. It's about a relationship. I think we can sometimes, and I'll readily admit that sometimes I'm guilty of the same thing, and sit down and I can dig out, or I can even go just through my devotion, sometimes just hammering it out, or sometimes I'm digging it out for information and haven't made it personal. We have to stop and pause to say, how do I make this personal in my life? And then I think the last part is then to rest my weight upon it, to find it as my solace and my comfort. So there's a passion for the word. The second part of the verse we see is the pattern for the word, that is my meditation all the day. A meditation for that. And we've talked about that. What does that mean to meditate? We looked at that more in Psalm 19 in our study back then. But this idea of meditation that the Bible speaks about is not a sitting and you know, my legs crossed and removing all thought from my mind, but it's a repetitious pondering over. I'm going to continue to ponder over. I'm going to continue to think about it in my life. And the reality is it's easy to become distracted, and so we have to continue to meditate on that. And that's where we see there's a blessing for that. Again, Psalm 1, blesses a man who meditates therein day and night. Think about the command to Joshua. As Joshua getting ready to take over after Moses to lead the people, and then God sets him down and says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And he says, and this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Why? For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you're going to have good success. Hey, Joshua, you want to lead the people well? You want to have a prosperous journey? You need to be tied close in relationship with me, and so read my word, meditate on that, and then you're going to be prosperous, and you're going to have good success. It's interesting how the Bible lays that out for us, that there is the ability for wisdom and prosperity and just a direction through God's word. And so we need to be studying there and meditating on that on a regular basis. And then lastly, what we see in the text in verses 98 to 104 really is the product of the word. Let me just read it, and I'll just make a couple comments, and we're going to close up actually tonight. He says, you, through your commandments, you make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I've not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You see what some of the product that he talks about? It starts with, I love your word, I'm going to meditate on this, and here's the product. This makes me wiser. This gives me understanding. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. You've made me wiser than my enemies. I understand more than the ancients. Verse 104, through your precepts, I get understanding. And he says it helps him to refrain his feet from every evil way. And so notice those words. That is a product. Do we want to be wise? Do we want to be understanding and to be able to take and apply God's word to our life? Do we want to have a wisdom and an ability beyond our enemies or even our teachers? Where does that develop? You see sometimes people, you're like, man, they just have a wisdom to them. They've got a depth, and you see that God uses that. How does that develop? It's not just accidental. It's purposeful as they meditate on the Word of God, and they make that a regular part of their life. That's why Moses gave instruction for kings that when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests of the Levites. And it shall be with him. And he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law, these statutes, and to do them. You see what the command was for kings? If you're going to rule well, I want you to take. And they were commanded to take and actually write out their own copy of the law, to keep it with them. It was to be a part of their life. Not as they wrote it out and they stick it in a corner of their palace somewhere, and that was a great little piece. No. It was to be with them, a part of their lives, and then they would read that in their lives, that they may what? Learn to fear the Lord their God, and that they would keep all the words of his law. They're going to rule well. They're going to make wise decisions, right decisions. They would learn that by knowing the Word of God. If we're going to make wise decisions in our homes, with our children, with our families, if we're going to make wise decisions in our workplaces and in different places that God has us, the Word of God is the key to that. So, again, that's kind of, we're really wrapping things quick tonight, and I have a lot more we could say on all this. There's kind of the structure that lays out for us, and I think it's pretty obvious when you walk it through. You see it in there. And I think I would say in everybody in this room, there's a genuine desire. God, I want to know you. God, I want to have understanding. God, I want to have wisdom to make right decisions in all these different areas of my life. I would say of this group in this room, knowing each of you as I do, there's a heartbeat for that. Well, the key is found in loving his word. Making that our meditation, making that our thoughts that we dwell on and we think on, so that our lives are directed by it. And it becomes, as we're going to see next week, or in 2 weeks from now, the lamp to our feet and the light to our paths. The guidance for us. As Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said this about the Bible, it is blessed to eat into the very soul of the Bible until at last you come to talk in scriptural language and your spirit is flavored with the words of the Lord, so that your blood is bibline and the very essence of the Bible flows from you. That doesn't happen accidentally. It takes a devotion to it and a commitment to it that develops into that love for it. And so there's just some words of encouragement for us as the psalmist tells us how we can have that, how we can have that understanding and wisdom and have a Bible essence that flows out of us. And I think that's a desire that we each have. And so be challenging each other. And I think there's a great encouragement we have as a body of believers to challenge each other, to ask each other, how's your Bible reading going? What are you reading right now? Man, love to hear how that's impacting you. And one of the things we do in even our small groups, sometimes ask, is we just did this last Wednesday in our small group, is, hey, what's something you've been reading in your Bible that's been really encouraging to you? And to hear from each other, man, God's been teaching me this, and God's been revealing this to me. We have got to develop in Christianity and within our church an ability and a desire to talk about spiritual things together. That we share and we equip each other and grow together. We disciple each other. Man, what a blessing that is when that begins to start seeing that. And there's a discipleship and sharing and the encouragement, the admonition from one another. And so I'd encourage that as we come alongside each other and grow together in the Word to equip each other in it. Let's close in prayer. And I'm not going to do a closing song. Again, I want to try to get all of us down there to be able to watch some of the cars run for a little bit here. Make your way down. There's snacks for you as well. If you'd like to get something to eat, you're more than welcome to do that. But let me close this. Father, thank you for this time tonight. Lord, I am so thankful for your Word. And Lord, I sometimes feel like such a babe coming to it. And there's so much more to glean, so much more to learn. Lord, I'm just so thankful that we can know you through it. We can have a relationship with you through it, and you give guidance and wisdom and understanding. Lord, as you help us, that we would continue to love it, that we would discipline ourselves with it, that we would then meditate upon it, and that you would grant us wisdom and understanding through it. So, God, we thank you, and again, just want to praise you and ask for the opportunity that we'd have to encourage each other in your Word, and to grow together and keep each other accountable that we might be better used of you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thanks, and you are dismissed.